All right, let's take our Bibles and turn back to the book of Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, we looked at this chapter last time. And I want to continue in our study. We looked at the first five verses. I'd like to look at verses 6 to 8 today. Adam and Eve, his wife, are in a garden. It's planted by the Lord. And they've been created, innocent, upright. And sin, as yet, has not entered into the world. Now, in our first study, we saw that Satan approached the woman and he questioned God's word by asking Eve, yea, it's in the first verse, hath God said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He said, did God say that you couldn't eat of any trees of the garden? And she responded and she said, verse 2, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. Now, in the next verse, Satan said to the woman, and what he was actually doing, he's calling God a liar. He said, refuting God's word and penalty promised for disobedience, he said, you shall not surely die. Satan was telling Eve that by eating the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, she would receive things that only God could perceive, and she would actually be like God. He said in verse 5, God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, Eve is being tempted. Temptation is not sin. The Lord was tempted. The scripture declares concerning sin and temptation in the book of James chapter 1. James chapter 1 verses 14, 15. Here's what's going to happen. Like I said, temptation itself is not sin. James chapter 1 verse 14, 15. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Like I said, now the Lord was tempted, but the Lord didn't sin. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away, enticed. Verse 15, but when lust hath conceived, when he yields to that temptation, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. So Eve is being tempted. God has spoken to her husband Adam, and Adam told his wife what God said, but Eve is not perceiving the significance of God's sovereignty. She's not perceiving the significance of the tree, which was the tree that set forth the demand of God's righteousness of keeping the law. He told her, he said, you eat of that tree, you're going to die. And Eve was blind to her danger. And being found in that position, she did the unthinkable. Now, this book is a mysterious book. Here was a place where sin was as yet not found. And the scripture says in verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, Satan is now tempted Eve the same way he tempted the Lord Jesus in the wilderness. According to 1 John 2:16, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And I will be the first to say that it would be wrong for us to try to imagine or attempt to show the rationale of Eve's mind. Evidently, she gave some credit to the enticing statements of the devil, the serpent, that the eating of the fruit, obviously in her mind, she thought that it would have extraordinary results, making them like God himself. That's what Satan told her. God doth know when you eat of the fruit, you'll be as gods, with the same word as God. And would also have the fullness of the knowledge of good and evil. You will know, Satan told her, how to choose. You will know what's good and what's evil and how to choose good and refrain from evil. You'll know how to do that. You'll think as God thinks, or you'll be as God. And in one moment, before Satan enticed her, she declared unto the devil that God had said, of all the fruit of the tree that's in the midst, you shall not eat of that one tree. Now, how amazing this is that she looks at that tree. This is what verse 6 says. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, she looks at that tree, having heard the enticing words of Satan, and concluded in her mind that the tree was good for food. She saw that the tree was good for food. Now, how did she perceive that? The scripture declares that she saw, and she saw that it was good. She saw that the tree that God had forbidden was good to eat. Now, I want to say right now, for not only those of you that are here, but for anybody that's listening to this message, I'm not here to be novel. I'm not here to be cute. I'm not here to be clever. I am here to set forth as clearly as I can perceive God's word to be truthful in what is set forth in these scriptures. And found in some wording of what Eve did, it said she saw that the tree was good for food. And I'm going to say, as Robert Hawker, I've read often, if any of you read Robert Hawker, you know that often he'll make a statement and he's made a conclusion based on the tense and the sense of the scriptures. And he'll say something like this. He said, I don't speak decidedly, but I speak praying that the Spirit of God might be pleased to teach us from these scriptures. So I'm going to just say that. I don't try to speak decidedly, but I'm going to pray that the Spirit of God might be pleased to reveal to us. But I will tell you from these wordings, and I do find it very, very important to read these words and look up the meanings of these words that we can understand what's being said. The word saw, when it says, and the woman saw. Now, three different sources, and I would always recommend, as I've always told the folks here, please go look these things up. Please take a concordance. Get you a good Strong's or a Blue Letter Bible or a Vines Concordance, which is the three that I went to find out exactly what that word saw means. The word saw, it means actually from Vines Expository Dictionary. Again, I'll tell you this, I don't speak Hebrew. But I can read. And I can read a definition. Vine's Expository Dictionary It sets forth that the word saw, it means to see with the eyes. It means to observe. It means to ascertain or to know something for certain or to make sure of by experience. Blue Letter Bible has a meaning of that word saw. It means to be exhibited to. Strong's has a definition, continuing in these, it means to see literally or figuratively, and then it uses this word, causatively. That is, something that is acting as an agent or a cause to bring something into being. Now, I'm going to give you an illustration, then I'm going to tell you what I think happened right here. I heard years ago that the tomatoes were thought to be, for years, they were thought to be poisonous. I read where tomatoes were brought from the Americas back to Europe back in the 1500s. And they were always thought in Europe and elsewhere, I suppose, that tomatoes were poisonous. People would plant them and they would use them as decorations and, ornaments in their yards, but they would not eat them. Why? Because they thought they were poisonous. A man named Colonel Robert Johnson, on September the 26th, 1820, I looked this up just to make sure that I'm saying this correctly. It says, once and for all, to prove how good tomatoes were, stood on the steps of a courthouse in Salem, and I think that was in New Jersey, and bravely consumed an entire basket of tomatoes without keeling over or suffering any ill effects. The people saw causatively, that is, with a cause. They saw by an example, by an experience, that tomatoes were good food. They saw it. They saw it. It was more than that they just looked at it, but there was a demonstration to them that tomatoes were good for food, that they were not poisonous. Now, to make application for what I'm saying here, the serpent said unto the woman, when she said, God said, if we eat of that fruit, of that tree, we're going to die. Satan told her in verse 4, ye shall not surely die. I was listening to a message that was preached by Brother Henry Mahan, and he made this statement, and when he first made it, I thought to myself, so I went back and looked up where he was coming from, what he said. He said, I believe that what happened, he said, Satan, as a demonstration, took of the fruit and ate it in front of the woman. Satan, who was a fallen creature, he didn't go any farther than he was. He was already a fallen creature. He fell out of heaven. He ate of the fruit, and the word used right here, when the woman saw, that is, she beheld by example. She beheld with a cause. She saw through an agent and deducted from watching Satan, probably, and I'll say this, that's what I'm talking about when I say I'll let the Spirit of God lead us, but I can tell you what the word means. She saw something and concluded something by seeing it. Just like those people that watch Colonel Johnson eat tomatoes. She saw, and it says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, she saw that this creature, Satan, the serpent, she saw that he didn't keel over. And not only did she conclude then that the tree was good for food, she saw it. You know, I've often wondered, when I'd read that, I thought, how could she look at it and conclude that it was good for food? God told her she was going to die. How did she conclude that? Well, based on the word saw, when she saw that the tree was good, that it was then pleasant to the eyes. Now, what happened now? She saw that it's good for food, and she's concluded that it's not harmful. And then, she's seeing that the tree was good for food, she now deducted it was pleasant to the eyes. It was at that point that it had no adverse effects on Satan, on the serpent. It was then delightful. When it says pleasant to the eyes, it was then delightful, charming, and satisfying to behold. It was pleasant to her eyes, and now it whetted her appetite. That which God had forbidden, that which God had told her, you're going to die if you eat this. Satan says, you're not going to die. You're not going to die. And by her seeing, by an experience, by an example, that tree obviously produces fruit that is good for food. And now, in her deceived and beguiled mind, it was, the scripture says, a tree to be desired to make one wise. Now, she was obviously persuaded by the eating of that fruit, by that example, whatever it was, wherever it is, and I'll be the first to admit that if there was another way that God was pleased to allow her to see by example, but it could be very plausible that that's what happened. I'm not saying it is, I'm just saying that that's what the word means. I'm saying that she saw and an example was given, something that she beheld that proved something to her in her deceived mind. Now she's seeing that this is a tree to be desired to make one wise, and now her obvious ignorance, she said, well, obviously I'm ignorant. This Satan had told me that I wouldn't die, and I can see that didn't happen, obviously. And now it's one that's now pleasant to her eyes, and now a tree that is desired to make one wise. The scripture says that after she coveted and lusted after, the scripture says she took. She took of the fruit and did eat. And obviously, nothing happened. Nothing happened. She didn't feel, the scripture didn't say that she felt any adverse effects, but she was not the one that God had spoken to. He had spoken to her husband. Adam was the representative of mankind. He was the first Adam, not Eve. Nothing happened. She was not the representative. Satan wasn't the representative. And the scripture says, and she gave also unto her husband, and it says, with her. And he did eat. Now the word with means, and this is one of those where I looked at that and I kind of wondered the significance. It means equally with, and it's from a root word that means to associate with. Now, some say that he was actually standing there, some say he wasn't, and I could not conclude from the wording of the scriptures whether he was or whether he wasn't, but whether he was there when he ate, when she ate, or whether he came up after she ate, or whether she went and found him and related the story, it's hard to say, but the scripture declares that Adam, who was created upright, that means straight, level, correct, and proper, he did eat. Adam ate with his eyes wide open. Eve was beguiled. She was fooled. She was tricked. Adam took that and he ate that fruit in absolute disobedience. He knew exactly what he was doing. He was not deceived. He was not fooled. He wasn't beguiled. He knew when he ate it, he was disobeying God. He knew he was. And the scripture says, and he did eat, and the next verse says, and the eyes of them both were opened. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons or things to gird about. It was not until Adam ate that their eyes were opened. Not when Eve ate. Not even if it was that Satan ate. It wasn't, no. It was when Adam ate. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that," in the margin, "in whom all have sinned," for that all have sinned. In whom? Adam. 1 Corinthians 15:21-22, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Satan had told Eve that their eyes would be opened. The eyes of their understanding would be opened. But what he promised was not what they experienced. He had promised them paradise, and now they're plunged into the discovery of their folly and sin. Yes, he said, "God does know in the day that you eat thereof, then you'll know good and evil." Well, yeah, they now know good and evil, and they know that good that was promised them was not to be had by their rebellion. Now they know that what they've done is not good. And the evil that they never thought that they would be associated with was now inescapable. They know what good is. Good is obedience to God. Sin is transgression of the law. The law was found. You say, "Well, the law wasn't until Moses." No, God gave a law. He told them, he said, "In the day you eat thereof, you're going to die." That's law. And now they realize that by their disobedience, now their eyes are opened. The fact that they've been deceived, or Eve was, Adam knew it. And what they've done is exactly what God said. In the day you eat thereof, you're going to die. And now they're walking around physically, but they're dead spiritually. And some of the effects of that death from what is being said right here. It said the eyes of them both were open. They knew that they were naked. Their eyes were open to this fact that externally, yes, they were naked before. But now what they're seeing externally is actually something that is internal. For the first time now, they're ashamed. They're ashamed. You know how you wouldn't even dare want to go out, someone see you, you know, without clothes and stuff. But shame and guilt and, you know, it's now here. They've been deceived and they've lost peace with God. They've lost comfort and communion that they had with the Lord. They've lost their innocence that they formerly possessed. They were innocent. He was created upright. And now they're naked. Their outward nakedness proves that they've lost their purity. And they're now dead spiritually. And they, in their spiritually dead mind and heart, must now in their minds do something to remedy the disaster. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. So what do? They do the first thing that they now think. Now here's the beginning of free will. Immediately. They had depended on God, and now here's the first thing they do. They now have sewn fig leaves together and made themselves aprons, things to gird them. That's the natural man's mindset from the fall. Free will. Man thinks that he can cover himself. Man thinks that he can cover his guilt, cover his spiritual nakedness by doing something. Whatever, just something. Baptize, reform, speak in tongues, pray through, whatever. Join the church. But the problem is, a man that is dead in trespasses and sins, he's in need. He needs life. Why? Because he's dead. He needs a new heart. Why? Because now his heart's carnal. Carnal heart, enmity. He needs to be reconciled to God. Why? Because what he's done is he's separated himself. Your sins have separated between you and your God. He needs peace now to be established now because there's no peace now with disobedience. God, the wages of sin is now taking its toll, and he needs righteousness before God. And all he's got now is filthy rags. And he needs his sin debt to be paid. And there's no way he can pay it for himself and live because the wages of sin is death. That's you know, I'll pay my wages. Well, you're going to die. That's the way it's paid. So he can't please God. Now he's already displeased him, and he's in a mess. Man's in a mess. And then an amazing verse, which reveals two things, is set forth in verse 8. I was going to try to go through verse 13, but I'm going to stop in verse 8. The scripture says, now here's what Eve has been beguiled. She comes to her husband, and she gives him, and with his eyes wide open, he eats. Their eyes are open. They realize now we've lost everything. We've lost it all. And the scripture says, here they are, they've made aprons, sewn them together, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now, as I said, there's two things that I see in that verse of Scripture that I want us to touch on. First, the depth to which man fell. The latter part of that verse reveals that when they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day, here's what they did. Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now, as we just considered, that which God said would take place took place. God doesn't lie. God's word's not going to return void. It's his counsel is going to stand. They both died spiritually. They're dead in trespasses and sins, and they manifested the deadness of their souls for the first time in their life. And I don't know how long it was. I've heard people say they think that they fell the day that they were created. I don't know. Maybe so. I don't know. But as long as they were in the garden, for the first time, they did not desire to be in God's presence. They lost the joy of the Lord and the comfort of his fellowship. Now that's something that's got to be restored. The joy of the Lord is my strength, psalmist says. Now their sins, having separated them from God, they don't want to be where he is. Now, is that not the same reaction of man by nature today? Man by nature does not want to be where God is preached. Now, it's an amazing thing. You take a lie being preached, a false gospel that gives honor and glory and praise unto man, and I'm telling you, you can't keep them out. Man, you'll pack them out. They're just, you know, they're mega churches, and they're just, you know, everything is wonderful and great, and God is good. He's got a wonderful plan for all of you, and he loves everybody and stuff. But you let the glorious gospel of God's free grace, sovereign grace, be preached, where God is God, and man by nature don't want to be there. He finds no joy in it, no peace in it, no comfort in it. That men are not born with a heart that longs for company with God. Why? They love darkness. rather than light. They don't want to face the one by nature. They don't want to face man hates a God that's sovereign. He hates a God that does as he will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. They hate God who declares, and it is. They want it explained to them. They want it, Brother Scott says, I don't explain it, I proclaim it. This is God, this is the way it is. And they hid themselves. And somehow man thinks by just ignoring it, it's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. So they lost the joy of the Lord. They lost the joy of his fellowship. And they lost their confidence in God's willingness and ability to supply their need. What did they do? They made themselves aprons. Genesis chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. The scripture declares that the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, good for food, tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God planted the garden and put man in it. And out of the ground the Lord made everything to grow, every tree that was pleasant, good for food. And the scripture declares that the Lord had given man, this is Genesis chapter 1 and verse 30. Here's what God, it says, to every beast of the earth, to every fowl of the air, to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every herb for meat, and it was so. When God supplied everything. God, the scripture declares today to God's people, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But now man, fallen, dead in trespasses and sins, feels because he's now guilty and he's got shame and he I can't depend on God. He doesn't want to depend on God. He doesn't want to have anything to do for God, and he believes that he must provide for himself. But all he's done is expose his ignorance. So they hid. Scripture says of the fallacy of that thought, Isaiah 29:15, woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us? Who knoweth us? Man's guilty, and he knows he's guilty. There's a conscience in man. He knows right from wrong. Of all he longs to do is compound his guilt. Isaiah 30, verse 1, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me, and that cover with a covering. And here it is. That covering of false religion. That covering that I can cover my nakedness before God. I can do something and God doesn't know. Woe unto them that take counsel but not of me, that cover with a covering but not of my spirit. Whenever the Spirit of God comes in power to God's elect, he comes and he regenerates them, robes them in the righteousness of Christ, gives them faith to believe. It's not of my spirit that they may add sin to sin. So in the fall, man fell in his rebellion. He lost that innocence. He lost that joy. He lost his dependence upon God. He lost the realization of God's omniscience. What does that mean, omniscience? That means God knows and sees everything. God knows. They thought that they could hide themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees, and they didn't consider. Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding evil and good. And I'll tell you another thing Adam lost. When he lost, he lost wisdom. He lost wisdom. He lost understanding. Christ is our wisdom. But I want you to look at something that I saw, Genesis chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. And out of the ground, 2, 19 and 20, out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, to the fowl of the air, every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. Now, think about this. Who named the animals? Adam. Adam did. God gave Adam wisdom and understanding to name, and whenever these animals were brought to Adam, he said, that's a cow. Why did he name them a cow? Because he did. God gave him wisdom. That's a giraffe. That's a giraffe. That's a mouse. That's a rabbit. And here's this man that had God-given wisdom and understanding to name these animals, the fowl, every beast of the field. And this man thought now that the trees of the garden would fool God. See, man has fallen. But the thing is, that's the evidence of one dead in trespasses and sins. He loses all ability to comprehend by God's Spirit because life's not there anymore. God and his relationship to the Lord. But in closing, I want to say there, I said there was two things. The first thing is, how far did man fall? But in that eighth verse, one other thing, and I'm going to touch on this, and then Lord willing, this is where I'm going to pick up next time. It says, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They heard the voice. Here is grace before grace. You know, because we know what's going to happen, you know that God is going to put a curse on the earth. He's going to curse Satan. He's going to tell man that what he's going to do for the rest of his life by working. But God is going to cover them with skins of animals to preach the gospel to them and show them, even in the fall, there's the first gospel message preached in this book. Lord willing, we're going to look at it later, not today. We'll look at this, but you know what God's going to do. But here's the amazing thing. Sin had separated between Adam. And Adam and Eve had no desire for God. But God, in his infinite mercy, came to those that wouldn't come to him by nature. They heard the voice of the Lord walking in the cool of the day. And here's these fallen creatures of the dust hiding, thinking that they're hiding from God, and in themselves, they are totally, completely without hope. But it is God who now is searching them out. Yes, they are dead in trespasses and sins, and by the grace of God, they heard the only thing that can afford them any hope: the voice of the Lord. You said, well, can a sinner dead in trespasses and sins hear the voice of the Lord? Well, I can tell you this. I know Saul of Tarsus was going on the road to Damascus and breathing out threatenings, and God Almighty stopped him. And he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And what did he say? Who art thou, Lord? Who are you? Who are you? And God revealed himself to him. Can a dead sinner hear the voice of the Son of God? Obviously so. The dead are going to hear the voice of God in the resurrection. Those in the grave are going to hear the voice. When God Almighty calls, he calls powerfully. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking. The Lord said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Here's the good shepherd who seeks out his sheep, the one who will not leave his own unto themselves, the Savior of sinners, who will soon take them, cover them, show them mercy by expelling them from a place that he's not going to allow them to stay, so that they might not eat of the tree of life and stay in that state forever. I just told a secret on a message that I'll preach later. But anyway, that's okay. That's all right. Here is the marvel of man's fall in the garden. Eve was deceived. Adam did it with his eyes wide open. He knew it. I'm telling you, we often, you know, we'd like to believe that we're all always deceived and fooled, and we didn't know anything about what we were doing. Well, I'm just afraid that's not the case. How many times have we known good and well? How many times, you know, we'll do it? I'm not saying we're never deceived. I'm sure we are. It was time fooled or something like caught trespasses, the effects of sin. But how many times have we done just exactly what we knew was the wrong thing to do, you know? How many times have I'll go ahead and confess it. How many times have I found myself confessing things that I'd confessed before? And I just, you know, I'm trying to learn. Don't ever promise God you'll never do that again. Because I'm going to tell you something, that'll come back to bite you. I'm telling you. How thankful I am that the Lord, who would not leave his own to himself, came and they heard him coming. They weren't looking for him. Believe me, no sinner is ever looking for. No man seeks after God. The shepherd, he's going to find the sheep. I pray that the Lord bless this to our hearts. I pray that we behold something of his glory and seeing exactly how was she deceived? How was it that Adam rebelled? He did. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, came, saved us, loved us for Christ's sake and our eternal good. Amen.